Let's read together today 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6 and reading down through verse 10. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." These Corinthian Christians did what some people do today. They admired human wisdom, but they admired it too much. So much that they put human wisdom above the wisdom of God. They admired and elevated human understanding above the gospel. And so they exalted men and they caused divisions in the church. So Paul warns them in the first four chapters of this book not to trust in human wisdom. He told them that his purpose in coming to them was not to display all of his learning. Although Paul was a highly educated and a very intelligent man, he was not putting his wisdom on display before them. He said, "I did not come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom." So he tells these Christians, and he warns us today, don't put your faith in any man. Whenever we trust in a man more than we should, we will always be let down. Anytime you put your trust in a man rather than God, you will always end up being disappointed. And yet, people continue to do this. They take what some man says and sometimes never even look at the Bible to see if it's true. Now, that's trusting in man. That's putting faith in human wisdom over God's word. Paul said, "I didn't come to you with human wisdom so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So Paul, in the first two chapters then, is saying that the gospel is not based on, it is not built on human wisdom. However, in verse 6, Paul says, "I did and I do speak wisdom." It's just not the wisdom of men. We do speak wisdom, but it's a different kind of wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. Notice in verse 6, after he said that he wasn't there to preach the wisdom of men in verses 1 through 5, he reminds them in verse 6, "Howbeit we do speak wisdom among them that are perfect." We speak a different kind of wisdom, not the wisdom of men. What does he mean when he says that we speak the wisdom of God, or this wisdom among them that are perfect? Well, the word perfect means mature. It means complete. It means full grown. He's talking about mature Christians. Christians that understand the difference between human wisdom and the wisdom of God. And so a Christian will understand very clearly and very quickly what Paul is saying here. Now, the whole point in 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 2, and 3 is that these Corinthian Christians were not mature. They were not acting like adults in the gospel. As a matter of fact, he tells them that they were acting like children. Why? Because it is childish to put too much admiration and too much faith in a man. To exalt men is a childish thing when it comes to Christianity. So Paul says, we speak wisdom among those that are mature, and they recognize it. They understand what we're talking about. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes, that is, the leaders, the authorities of this world or of this age. And notice that he says that that wisdom of the world comes to naught. It amounts to nothing. Now, of course, in the eyes of men, human wisdom is everything. Human wisdom solves all the problems. Human wisdom accomplishes anything that men want to do. That's the way that the world looks at its own wisdom. But Paul says we understand that as far as the long run is concerned, as far as eternity is concerned, human wisdom is going to come to nothing, and human wisdom really profits nothing as far as eternal salvation is concerned. So God's wisdom, Paul says, is a different kind of wisdom. It is far above man's wisdom, even though man vainly thinks that his wisdom is better. Now go back to what he's talking about in this chapter especially and what he mentioned back in the last chapter. Remember that he said that when he came there, he did not come with eloquent speech or with wisdom of words. He said, I came to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, there were people in the world then, and this had rubbed off on some of the members of the church at Corinth, who looked at the gospel and thought it was foolish. They thought that the idea of the great king of Israel, the King of Kings, being crucified was just foolishness. And some of them especially thought that the idea of a man being raised from the dead was just a foolish idea. Now, that's what human wisdom said. And some of these Christians were listening far too much to that human wisdom. Now, Paul is showing in these chapters that the wisdom of God is so far above the wisdom of men that there are people who are wise in this world that don't even recognize how high and how lofty and how deep the wisdom of God is, because they're too caught up in their own thinking. They're too caught up in their own pride in human wisdom. Now, let me contrast man's wisdom with God's wisdom about the Son of God. Here's what was causing some of the problem among the Jews and the Greeks when it came to believing in and obeying Jesus of Nazareth. Human wisdom says that the King of Kings would not stoop down to wash people's feet. But we know that the Savior did stoop down and wash people's feet, John chapter 13. Human wisdom would say that the Son of God would not be born of a virgin, that God would not choose that way for His Son to enter the world, because people wouldn't believe it perhaps, or because people might misrepresent it like the Jews did in John chapter 8. But God chose for Jesus to be born of a virgin. You see, that goes directly contrary to the way that man's wisdom says that it ought to be. Human wisdom says that the King of Israel should not have been raised in Nazareth. And there were people who hesitated believing in Jesus because he was from Nazareth. Why? Because people looked down upon those who were raised in Nazareth. They despised that place. And that's why even Nathanael in John chapter 1 said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Human wisdom would say that the King of Kings would not allow himself to be mocked, to be spit upon, and to be publicly humiliated. But we know Jesus was. Jesus was the King of Kings, and he allowed himself to be treated like that. Man's wisdom says that a king of any kind should never allow himself to be so treated. But that's man's wisdom. Man's wisdom says that the King of Kings would not allow himself to be arrested and then sentenced to death. But that was God's wisdom, and God's wisdom is so far above man's that sometimes man doesn't even recognize the wisdom of God. Human wisdom would say that the messenger of the King of Kings must be eloquent, and those messengers must be wise in the world. Now, that's what Paul is refuting here in 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 2, and 3. Greek philosophy said that if a man is going to be believed by his hearers, that if a man is going to be an effective public speaker, then he must be eloquent and he must be educated and wise in the world. And not only that, they would even go so far as to say that he must have an impressive physical appearance. But Paul didn't display these things to these people. And the Bible tells us in Acts 4, verse 13, that Peter and John were uneducated compared to the standards of the world. Human wisdom would also say that the message of God must agree with man's opinions. It must agree with human wisdom. And that's what Paul again is denying here. The wisdom of God never has and never will fit with the opinions of men. It never will be mainstream as far as human standards of wisdom are concerned. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. So those are some differences between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. Now then, let's look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and go on with verse 7. Because there he talks about the wisdom of God being a mystery and being hidden. Now, that doesn't mean that the gospel is mysterious to an honest soul. It doesn't mean that the gospel cannot be understood by man who sincerely wants to know the truth. Well, in what sense is the gospel a mystery? In what sense is the gospel hidden? Well, first of all, even when Jesus spoke, the Bible says he oftentimes spoke in figures called parables, and his disciples once asked him, "Why are you speaking to these people in parables?" Matthew 13, verse 10. Jesus said, "Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it's not given to them." Now, the them that he's talking about refers to those unbelievers, those people who were enemies of the gospel of Christ. He's not talking about his apostles and his followers. He's saying that he spoke the truth of God in these figures so that an honest soul would take the time and give the gospel the opportunity to explain itself. But those who already had their minds made up and who were prejudiced against it and would abuse it would not see the same truth that those other people would. And so what we find is that it was hidden in that sense. It was veiled. But the gospel was also veiled in the Old Testament through prophecy. It was there in the types of the Old Testament and in the prophecies, but it was not revealed like it is in the New Testament. And that's why oftentimes that the Bible in the New Testament says that the mystery of the Gentiles was that the Gentiles would someday be in the same kingdom and on the same level as the Jews. Now, that was a mystery in the Old Testament because it was not clearly revealed, but it is clearly made known in the New Testament. Paul goes on to say in verse 8 that none of the princes, that is, none of the leaders or authorities of this world knew this wisdom, that is, the wisdom of the gospel, because he said, if they had known it, if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought that Jesus was a criminal. They thought that Jesus was a liar. And they thought that because of their own pride and their own prejudice. So in verse 9, Paul quotes from Isaiah 64, verse 4. And he says these words, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." If you just look at that one verse without looking at the context, you may think that he's talking specifically about heaven there. But this is not a specific, exclusive reference to heaven. What he's talking about when he says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and these things have not even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, is revealed in verse 10. Because he says, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Verse 9 refers to all the truths and all the blessings we have in the New Testament. You see, back in Isaiah 64, verse 4, those things had not been revealed. But he tells us in verse 10 that they have been revealed. So that has to mean that what he's talking about in verse 9 refers to the truths that we find revealed in the New Testament in the gospel of Christ. We have these things today, and the question is, how much are we looking at them?